This morning's scripture reading be from Matthew 8, 28 through 34. That is Matthew 8, verses 28 to 34. And it reads, "When he arrived at the other side in the region of the gardens, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from the large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out and send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came in out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed man. The whole town went out to meet Jesus, and they saw him. They pleaded with him to leave the region.
Good morning. Great to have all of you here, whether you are new members, long-time members, visitors. It's precious to have you here to assemble as a spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're able to gather together to worship our older brother, Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at some scriptures. Michael read one of the versions of this incident. Following our theme this quarter, encountering Jesus Christ through the Gospels and the power of the Lord is made manifest through the Gospel. The Gospels to me and the New Testament are kind of the center of it. Something we need to come back to often from all the various letters to individuals and congregations, because it is the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, the one who many of us, maybe most of us, have decided to allow to be our Lord. We made a decision in response to that. And we gather together, partly because of that, as a spiritual family, to encounter Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage everyone, and some people maybe need to change their plans to be with us this afternoon. We've invited people from the community, many young ones, but hopefully their parents will hold their hands and bring them over. Because in a real sense, to encounter Jesus Christ, people need to encounter the body of Christ. And as Christians, we are that body. He is the head, we are the body. So when they encounter us, they have opportunity to encounter Jesus Christ, don't they? And so that's what we're going to do. And I'm grateful to so many of you who had made preparation, giving up time off even yesterday and for weeks have been making plans in order that we can present an element of the personality of Jesus Christ, that we are hospitable, that this is not some intimidating building in the community, but this is a building that the spiritual body of Christ assembles in, and others are welcome to join us. Because just as we had the opportunity to encounter Jesus, and what a blessing that is in our life, to see His glory made manifest through His Word and the changes in our life and in the fellowship that we have as we come together, how blessed we are. And blessings like that cannot be held. We want to share that joy. And I appreciate the point that Jared made. I appreciate so much all of our young adults who are struggling to throw off this image of teens that's been put on them by society, and to recognize that as young adults, they can serve Jesus Christ. I appreciate you serving us today, and that so many of you are struggling to serve even more. But we've come together, and this is an opportunity for us, through His Word, to encounter Jesus through the Scripture, these true historical events and how powerful they are. Last week, we saw, as Richard taught us, the incident where the disciples went out on the Sea of Galilee. And they learned quite a lesson, didn't they? They encountered Jesus and they saw the power of Jesus Christ to even rebuke the natural world, to control it. And I remember one of the points that I was reflecting on in that lesson was this element of fear. Something that many of us, I think, identify with in our walk with Jesus Christ. And we think, come on, guys, why didn't you get it? You're out on the boat with Jesus. And a storm comes and he is able to sleep through it, and yet you're fearful. Where is your faith? And I started thinking, I can see me in walks in my life. It may not have been a physical storm, although I've been on some physical storms on Lake Tahoe that brought some fear to us. We know that that can be a natural reflection. But they were with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And yet, like me, at times they had fear because they didn't quite have the faith. And there's a correlation between fear in our lives in the spiritual realm and faith. There's other lessons to be learned, even in this incident where he meets these two unique individuals. And he shows that Jesus Christ even has power over this demonic world. You may want to open your scriptures to Mark. There's another account of this, and maybe a little bit more detail. It has a great deal of encounters with the demonic world. Chapter 5, 1 through 20. So we've seen that after calming the storm, Jesus and his disciples arrived in the country of the Gadarenes. This is a region on the east side, the southeast portion of the Sea of Galilee, sometimes called the Gadarenes, Gerasenes, various names after the cities, and this area often referred to as the Decapolis, an area of 10 various cities. You can see that in Mark 5 and 20, the reference to that. So after taming the wild sea, Jesus now appears to tame, in particular, one wild man, although we know from the revelation that there were two of these men, but one becomes more prominent. A man possessed with unclean spirit, Mark 5 and 2. This man was unable to be bound by chains, running through the area, night and day, crying out, cutting himself. In 3 and through 5, we see this. This is an actual event, and it must have been sort of horrific to come upon. And for the people in that area to be experiencing that. And maybe some of you have experienced individuals who would at times manifest some of these characteristics. And you know that these are the type of people that a community would be afraid of, wouldn't they? It would be strange and bizarre, and you wonder what in the world is going on with them, but I'm certainly not drawn to them. Maybe don't have compassion towards someone who seems so different, so possessed, so out of their right mind. I know that was my fear years ago when I was a young police officer. Some of the scariest calls that we would respond to are the ones that they called, you know, there's a psych type of call. Some departments called them 5150s. It was where someone was psychologically challenged. And it was terrifying because you felt you never knew what they were going to do. You didn't know how they would respond, how much pain they can tolerate. So this must have been a fearful sight. I don't know what time of the day it was, but the incident that these disciples had been through with the Lord had already occurred. It might have been early, even late evening. It doesn't give a specific. But I'm trying to get into the mind of the disciples after they went through that horrific storm. They saw this amazing manifestation of deity in Jesus Christ as he calmed it. What were they thinking on edge? And then they come to the shore probably thinking, good, the boat's landed, solid ground, and they come into this environment with crazy, wild-looking men screaming. I think they're probably just thinking, what is it about this Lord? We follow this guy and we go from just one powerful, strange, and even intimidating incident to another. These guys certainly didn't seem calm. I'm sure they were scared. someone who cannot be bound by chains, cutting themselves, doing bizarre behaviors. And so they approach in Mark 5, 6 through 9. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. This man approaches and appears to bow and worship. What led to that? Especially as we learn more about what is inhabiting him. That he's not in his right mind. What mind came to him? The demons beg not to be tormented or sent out of the country. They ask for permission to fill a herd of swine. Jesus didn't order them to, but he allowed it. And of course, they were drowned. We see that in 11 through 13. Trying to visualize this today through the eye of faith through his word, and yet there were men there who saw this. Obviously had a powerful effect. Did not come to complete understanding even yet, but all these things are filling their hearts and minds. As Jesus Christ is revealing himself to them, God incarnate, manifesting the powers that only God would be able to manifest. But the fear, they had to have had fear. And I recognize that I have fear at times, and yet I can overcome because I am following the same Lord that they did. I can know these things happen through his word. He's revealed himself not just to them. They had the responsibility then, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to become the leaders of the early church. And we can walk in their footsteps knowing that this happened. An amazing thing to see. Perhaps terrifying some elements, others of it just amazing. The swine feeders fled to tell others, who, when seeing the demoniac in his right mind, begged for Jesus to leave their region. What is wrong with us as people? That we have this fear of Jesus Christ, even when he does good works. Is the world any different today? No. Are we any different as disciples? No. We have a commonality with those early men who experienced this. I'm so grateful for the revelation, because at times I see myself and these individuals. I see the same fears. I see the same joys. I see the same victories and the same failures. And that encourages me. It encourages me to want to learn more about this Jesus who goes to this environment. Now, there may be people who have had some compassion on these wild men. Someone chained them. Now, whether it's just out of fear of them or whether it was fear that they would help themselves. Do we ever have to do things against the will of some people to help them? There are incidents that they're so out of control that others have to help take control. That is just true. Despite the fact that we do not, in my view, have demonic possession, there is a demonic world. And although that these legion of demons, came in against this man's will and possessed him, isn't it amazing, as horrible as that is, that I have seen, and many of you have seen, some similar characteristics in behavior and loss of control of the mind because people have invited in the influences of Satan willingly. Maybe not always recognizing fully that that's what it is, but by behaviors and decisions, losing control of themselves, even to the point of behaviors that go against everything that God reveals to us on how to live, how to behave, because he loves us and wants to protect us. We make decisions in rebellion, and we allow the demonic or the evil, satanic influences to come into our life because we invite them. That's what sin is, isn't it? We're tempted, but we have the power to make a decision, and too often we invite him in. And you know, there are serious consequences. There are serious consequences. I was talking to our class about a TV show my wife and I watched. It was Tom Selleck. It's a new show about a police family in New York. Always ends with the family around the table and in prayer. Now, that's kind of unusual nowadays. And the one we saw the other night, it was recorded from I don't know when. It was about some people who lost their life because of some illicit drugs that they were taking. and died. And I've seen that. And I wonder, what in the world moves people to take into their bodies these drugs when a certain amount of my time and ministry and many others is trying to help people get away from the consequences of those choices, to see the devastation, to see the loss of mind, and sometimes it's permanent. And you think, well, that's almost like demonic. Why would we allow that to occur? You see, whether demons can literally possess people as they did in the early century is not a big factor when we are willing to invite in forces that destroy our lives just as much as if we, in fact, it's worse because we're inviting in sin to our life. We need to make choices about what we allow into our mind and our behaviors. Jesus didn't set up a bunch of rules and say, live this way, refrain from this, be involved in this, don't think on this, do think on this, because he wants us to be restricted. That he knows that sin is something that we become slaves to, and he brings liberty. We've talked about before, the only way we can have true liberty is to willingly become slaves to Jesus Christ, to take on his mind. Otherwise, we're in no better position than these two men running around like crazy men. And much of the world is crazy. We're inundated with all kinds of bizarre behaviors and lifestyles, thinking, but I'm free. And in fact, we're no more free than these men who were possessed of these demonic forces. And then Jesus comes. And some of you have experienced it when you have had your mind changed, because that's what conversion is. Repentance is so much more than water, although immersion is essential. It is the point that one who has decided to die to their will and submit to Jesus Christ literally is born again, is contact with the salvation offered by the blood of Christ, and we come up, when it's done correctly, to be a new creature. One who says, my whole perspective has changed. I belong to Jesus Christ. I've encountered Jesus Christ, and it's going to make a difference. And that difference can be as radical as the difference that this man possessed made. From a terror. Someone who people are afraid of. Out of control. To a man who becomes an agent of the gospel. An evangelist. And he calls us to that radical change. And you say, but I've never been that crazy. It's not a matter of degree. It's whether or not you have been in control of Jesus Christ or under your own carnal heart and mind. Same consequences. There's not degrees of loss, there's loss. There's not degrees to save, they're saved. That's good news. So we need to encounter Jesus, and this man did. It shows what can happen. And yet people think, this is too much. This is too much. How do we handle this man? We see him as this crazy man. Jesus did this marvelous work, something none of these people could do. And yet what did they do? They respond in fear. Get away. They're upset about the swine. They think they've lost some material wealth. They shouldn't have been raising it in that area. It'd be illegal. They may not have been Jews. They've been raising those to feed the non-Jews, the Roman cohorts. But they saw this loss of these pigs. Rather than focusing on this miraculous event that occurred, that this man now was in his right mind. And they say in verses 14 through 17, leave. And Jesus does. You see, when you reject Jesus, when you don't want Jesus in your life, he can leave. He doesn't want to leave. He's there, but he gives us the ability to reject him. As Jesus returns to his boat, this healed man pleads to join him. But he's sent to tell others what the Lord has done. Mark 18. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Are we different? Do we have a different obligation? Those of us who are Christians, we proclaim the reality that we encountered Jesus Christ. And we died that he might live. Are we doing what Jesus told this man to do? We look at these people in the community and think, what's the matter with them that you would send him away? The question would be, what's the matter with us if we're not willing to tell people what amazing things Jesus Christ has done in our lives? And I'm here to proclaim, he's changed my life. I'm saved despite my failings. He has improved my life. I have joy and peace. I don't always have happiness. And I'm weak and I struggle. But I'm saved by the grace of God. He's brought great works into my life, things that amaze me. People, opportunity. I'm saved. I identify with Paul when he says, who will save me from this body of death? I'm a wretch. I'm chief among sinners. But I don't have to wallow in that because Jesus has done a great work. He saved me and he is greater than the combined total of all my weaknesses if I will submit. But submission is scary, isn't it? If I submit, he may take me out on that boat and I'm afraid of the water and a storm may come up and what am I going to do? He may take me to some place where there's strange people that I just don't feel comfortable about. They may have different languages, different cultures. They may have come from horrible family situations, not solid ones. And they may be marked up and spiked up and tatted up and all kinds of things that just are foreign to me. They may smell different than me. They may be dirty. Did you notice when you follow Jesus, he didn't always take them to clean places? It wasn't all hygienic. Ministry gets dirty. But I don't like dirt. I'm afraid of that. What am I going to say to these people? What am I going to do in these events? It's the same fear that was holding these people back. And yet this man who had his right mind, he wanted to be with Jesus. Do you think that he would have had to have a lecture? You need to get here 3 times a week to be around Jesus and listen to him for 25 minutes, hopefully not more than 35. I don't think that was the heart that he had. He said, I want to be with Jesus. He saved me. Do you know what he's done for me? And I want that in my life. I want that to be the reality. I don't want to be caught up in all the things of this world that are temporary, that are going to be destroyed, even though I do have to deal with them. I want to think eternally. And when I look at people, I want to see souls because Jesus looked at me at my worst. Jesus was able to come to this environment and have compassion for wild, crazy, scary men. He had compassion for them. If I'm Jesus, how can I not have compassion? How can I not reach out? How can I not do what this demon-possessed man ended up doing when he was healed? To go out, to tell others. And you know what? Those people who were terrified of Jesus, who sent him away, they heard the good news. And we think, what a bunch of ungodly people that they would send him away. And yet they were amazed. Are people in your life amazed because of the results of your encounter with Jesus Christ? They can be if we would but share. In studying Mark's account of this healing of the demoniac and all these events that followed, I was struck by the fear of Jesus that was manifested in this story. So I asked this question, who was afraid of Jesus? Who was afraid of Jesus? Was it the demon who were legion? Yes. And justifiably so. They begged Jesus not to torment them in verse 7. Note the similarity to the unclean spirits in the synagogue in Mark 1, 23 and 24. This terror. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and they knew it. And they had reason to be afraid. The demons, or these unclean spirits, knew that there's a time coming, Matthew 8:29. They knew that the consequences of their rebellion against God were coming. And they didn't. They pleaded. They acknowledged who Jesus was. Just as many people who are deluded today are willing to acknowledge who Jesus is, that does not save them any more than it saved these demons. Indeed, everlasting fire is prepared for the devil and his angels, and they are aware of it and afraid of it. We see that in Matthew 25:41. And even today, if we reflect upon it, there are many sinful angels bound by chains of darkness. 2 Peter 2 and 4, Jude 9. This is a reality. And one day the devil himself will be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20 and 10. Yes, these demons who were legion were terrified of Jesus. Rightly so. But do you know that there are people, maybe even here today, who should be afraid? Certainly in the world today, there are people who should be afraid, just as these demons are afraid. For we too will experience the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels in Matthew 25:41 and 46 if we are not in Christ. Those not in the book of life will not escape the lake of fire, Revelation 20:15 and 21:8. So yes, if you are not in Christ, you should be terrified of Jesus and of his return and of death if we are not ready. So as we return to our text, Mark 5, 1-20, with our question, who was afraid of Jesus? Was it the denizens or the inhabitants of the region? And at first, I think of them as the denizens because I think how this ungodly group of people who rejected him. Yes, they were afraid, but unjustifiably so, in a sense. When they came to Jesus and saw the healed demoniac, they were afraid. They pleaded with Jesus to depart from the region. Get away, get out of here. Just as some of you sometimes have friends and even family who aren't that comfortable with you because you exhibit the mannerisms and character of Jesus Christ, and you make them feel uncomfortable because you are different as Jesus was different. Their fear was the fear of the unknown, something that's often common to us. And yet they seem to be unwilling to know. And much of the world, as you encounter it, they're unwilling to know. They reject and they resist the gospel. They reject and resist all the biblical teachings. They're afraid. And yet their fear deprived them of great blessings. Blessings that they should have been able to see just as they saw what happened to these two men. So yes, they were foolishly afraid of learning more about Jesus. Do not be in their situation, my friends. You may be hearing things as you associate with us that are just different than what you've been raised for. And like me, at age 19, the first time I heard of the Church of Christ, believing that I was a saved individual and having someone challenge me on this issue of baptism. And at first, that was something unknown to me. And I resisted. I was even offended. And yet because it drew me into God's Word, I was as blessed as that man possessed by demons. And the Holy Spirit now dwells within me, and I have eternal life. We cannot allow ourselves to be afraid to be together, to open His Word, to study, to learn new information. Do not let fear of serving God hold us back. Because what it does, it holds back His ability to give us the blessings He so much wants to give us. We should not be afraid of learning about Jesus, for He offers rest for our souls, Matthew 11:28 through 30. We should not be afraid of coming to Jesus, for He is the source of every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1 and 3. No blessings outside of Jesus Christ in the spiritual realm. No other religion, no other false god, no other organization offers us the spiritual blessings that are in Jesus Christ, and I have to be in Jesus Christ to enjoy them. We should not be afraid of obeying Jesus, for His words will free us from the bondage of sin, John 8:31 through 32. We should not be afraid of following Jesus, for his words will provide safety in life's storms. As revealed in the text last week, these men called upon Jesus even in this turmoil, and he calmed that storm. He didn't protect us from ever having them. He gives us the ability to get through them. We should not be afraid to learn whatever we can about Jesus. And finally, as we consider who was afraid of Jesus, we ask if it was the demoniac who was healed. No, justifiably not. He begged to be with Jesus, but Jesus had other plans for him. He does that, doesn't he? If someone told me, I need you to go to Kenya, Africa, and help establish a church, I'm here to tell you, I would have excuses that could fill a whiteboard because it would scare me. And yet some do that. Has he ever taken me places I was afraid? Yes. Places I would not have originally chosen? Yes. Being a retired cop, when it was first suggested to go into jails and prisons, my answer was a resounding no. Why? I'm afraid they will hurt me. I believe that. I believe that some of them would want to beat me up. I've been beat up, even when I had a badge. I didn't like it. I had fear. And yet a persistent blind man kept telling me, go with me. I'll hold your hand. Well, if you'll hold my hand. He's a pretty tough-looking blind man, Glenn Trosper. That was one of my areas. He has areas for you, and some of you have already transcended that. And you've had victory walking hand in hand with Jesus. And some of you are teaching when you thought you never could teach. But right now in this congregation, we need teachers. And some of you are being hindered by fear. Need to trust. That's a storm. Jesus needs evangelists. And some of you can share the gospel, but you're being hindered because of fear. We need to release that fear. We need to cling to Jesus, to desire to be with him, not resist how many times we come together as his body. For when we come together as the body, we are the assembled body of Jesus Christ. That is part of our encountering Jesus. It's us. He's the head. And we need to have the spirit of this man. Beg to be with Jesus. Children, young adults, don't let your parents hinder you if they're not at a place where they want you. Tell them, but I want to be with Jesus. It's important to me. We need to worship him. We need to be together. I want to do things. I do not want to be despised because I'm young. I want to be able to serve. I want to be with Jesus Christ. And I want to share him. I want to be bold. I don't want to try to be cool. I'm struggling with that just as these guys struggled. I want to proclaim that I belong to Jesus Christ. I've encountered him. And every place I go, even on Facebook, or my face, or my space, or space face, I'm going to tweet it. Where I am, people are going to know there's someone who's encountered Jesus. And he's not arrogant, he's saved. They're going to think, this guy's just like he's possessed. What's the matter with these people? All I hear about is Jesus and about all the time he gets together with people and about how he's making their life better. Those guys are out of their minds. Okay. I'm willing to have that title. As long as being out of my mind means I have the mind of Jesus, like Paul did. He agreed in his mind. I have the mind of Christ. I struggle. I have this carnal battle and I fail, but I know that Jesus lives. And it's his mind I want, and I want to be out of my mind because my mind leads to destruction. Jesus' mind leads to death. Not just for me, but all those who I can convince. Look to Jesus. Follow him. Not to be restricted. You mean I can't do all these things? No, you don't have to do all of them. You can be free from those behaviors, those patterns of thought, those destructive lifestyles. You can be free from those destructive friends And you can begin to have new friends who, yes, they're not perfect, but they have the mind of Christ at the best of their ability, and we are going to serve Him because He is our Lord, and we've encountered Him, and it's real, and we're not part of an institution. We're part of a kingdom. We're part of a family, and we are the body of Christ. And thanks be to God that He saved wretches like us, and He can save wretches like you, and we're going to take the gospel everywhere. We're going to get every kind of people in here around us, even if they're crazy looking and smell and look different, have accents and seem like they're possessed of alien spirits that they may have invited in through behaviors, because we know the one who can cleanse them. I know that because He's cleansed me. We should not be afraid of Jesus, for He loved us and washed us from our sins. Revelation 1:5. Brethren, we should not be afraid of telling others about Jesus who has given us great hope. 1 Peter 3:15. And if you don't have that hope, spend some time with those of us who want to share it. We can give you reason, not because of feelings or just because we feel something. We'll teach you the truth about Jesus, the rock that you can stand on. So you do not have to have that fear. If you have the fear, just like those disciples out on the boat on that sea, it's a faith issue. But I'm strong in faith. I just have fear. No, like them and like Peter at times, you're weak in faith at that time. And we want to be strong in faith, and we want to cast out fear. We want to allow God to do something powerful and great in our communities here at Newland, which means we have to cast out the fear, and we have to stand on His Word, not adding to it, subtracting from it, have confidence in His Word, confidence in the change that He's made in our lives, individually and corporately as a congregation. As we cast off fear and we say, together, we're going to encourage each other. We want to be with Jesus, and we're going to grow in that desire to want to be together and want to allow Him to reach the same kind of people that He taught these early disciples to reach. In conclusion, who was afraid of Jesus? Those unwilling to repent of their sins. And there's some here right now. Man, that sin's hurting you. You may be a Christian, you may not. And you see that there are patterns that just keep robbing you and even your family of joy, but it's what you know, it's what's secure, and you're afraid to let loose. You're like Peter. You see Jesus. Yet when He says, get out of that boat and walk across the water, all those disciples, they're looking, walk on water. Yet Peter did, didn't he? The very man who later denied knowing Jesus Christ walked on water. Does that sound like you? The very man who draws a sword against government forces and cuts off Malchus's, the slave of the high priest, ear to defend Jesus, not too long, fails him. And it looks like Kevin. It looks like some of you. We need to step out, brethren. That's where the power is. That's where the joy is. That's how you get rid of the boredom. That's how you lose the lack of zeal, is when you live it. It's real. These men became the foundation and took the gospel all because they went through all these situations. Ministry is not easy, clean. It can be emotionally draining. But I want to tell you, and many of you know this, it's the most exhilarating thing in life. You want joy? You want to be amazed? Get out of the boat. Overcome the fear and just say, I'm going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to do it if the Lord asks me and tells me to do it. And you change. And as you die more and more, He lives more and more. And what an amazing Lord that we can present. Who is afraid? Those unwilling to learn about Jesus. Who was not afraid of Jesus? The one who appreciated what Jesus had done for him. The one who was willing to tell others about what Jesus had done. If you're afraid to tell, you may not be sure what He's done for you. Re-examine that and recognize you can be saved for eternity, to be in a fellowship with the God of this universe. That's what He created us for, not for this world, for eternal fellowship with Him. And He gives us the ability to choose that. If you don't appreciate that, you won't share it. If you're not sharing it, you don't appreciate it. And fear is shackling you. And yet Jesus says He can unchain us. Who are we more like in this story? The demons who were legion? The inhabitants of that region? Are we more like the demoniac who was healed? The nature of our relationship right now, where you are right now, reveals the answer to that question. It's there, and we have to deal with it. Do you want to be with Jesus? Are you like this man who was freed, and you are willing to beg, to do anything you can to be associated with Jesus, to proclaim Him, to be with His people, to be part of that? Or is it just something that's sort of on that list? That tells you of your relationship with Him and who you're most like. Are you stuck where you are, only by yourself? It was satanic forces that influenced those men. Brethren, even as Christians, when our love for the Lord grows weak, it's that same force. And because He cannot literally inhabit you against your will, doesn't mean that we don't allow Him to influence us and neutralize us with fear. Same force. If we think they're nuts for rejecting them, we are. We're not in our right mind when this is just an activity, an institution, the right church. That's not in our right mind. A right mind is when we encounter Jesus and we love Him the way this freed man loved Him. And could not be restrained from going out and telling others about Him, even though he had the worst reputation of anyone. That community knew him as the crazy guy. Some people may have known you as a sinner, an alcoholic, a drug addict, a fornicator, a prisoner, a criminal, what all that stuff. We don't have to be chained by that. We can be freed by Jesus Christ, by encountering Him. A few months later, Jesus returned to the area where the inhabitants said, "Get out of here." And because of that man who was left there to share what Jesus had done for him, they came out in multitudes, so many that led to another miracle feeding those 5,000. That's who those people were. And they bragged about, "This man does everything right and good." This one man became an evangelist. He didn't have a title. Church isn't about titles. It's about who we are. He went and shared as he's called each of us to do. And people responded and they came out. And that's not the only time some person of ill repute did that. Think of the woman at the well. Who's the one that brought them out to Jesus? You think he can't use you to bring people to Jesus? That does not come from God. It does not come from Jesus. It comes from the evil one. It comes from demonic powers. Evil powers. He can and will. If we would but break the fear and share Jesus. And it may be sometimes you need to just share and ask someone else to come and help teach. But you're on the front lines and we need to love. We need to release the fear. Fear is a demonstration of lack of faith. There's no reason for any of us to have a lack of faith. We should be filled with Jesus Christ, because we've seen His glory. If we haven't, you need to. If you are in the church and you know that you're being held back, let loose. Repent. That just means change your mind. Get the mind of Christ back there. Change your behavior. Say, I'm going to change. I am going to become one filled with Jesus. And I'm going to share that glory. If your life is trapped by fear, maybe you need to be in fear. If you are outside the spiritual kingdom and you're questioning and you're resisting and you're afraid to let go, surrender. Allow Jesus to be Lord. Even if it costs you your family, other churches you've been with, say, I'm about Jesus Christ and surrendering my will to Him. And I'm going to decide that I'm going to submit to His Word. I'm going to hold to His Word. And I'm going to die to myself. And Jesus says, you must be baptized or immersed for the remission, the removal of your sins. Surrender and come up and be born again. Added to His kingdom, filled with the Spirit. We encourage you to do that. And then allow Jesus to work this glorified change as He did in these demon-possessed men. And brethren, let's give up the fear. Let's live in faith. If you have any need, our elders will be waiting to respond. Let us know at this time as we respond.